Welcome into First Pitch for Friday, June 2nd. I am Drew Martin, joined by Don Buster, Steve Merrill, and Adam Trigger of WagerTalk.com. We got some weekend winners coming to you here on the Friday slate on the diamond. We got big game breakdown, followed by best bets. Come join us in the live chat box here on the WagerTalk YouTube channel. Remember to subscribe to the WagerTalk YouTube channel. If you like getting winners, you like getting free picks, this is the place for you. Smash the like button if you're liking the content here. Let's go to our leadoff hitter, Don Buster. And Don, I'm seeing the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Mets as your big game breakdown here. What are you looking to do with the Jays and the Mets today, Buster?
Well, as always, Drew, thanks for having me on the show. Much appreciated. Hopefully I can do as well as I did last Friday. So what I like here is the over 8.5 on this, Drew. And it's basically because I'm just not a big fan of Chris Bassitt, especially on the road. He's sporting a 5.45 ERA on the road. And believe it or not, he's 3.5 runs better when he pitches at home. So, again, just really don't – I've never been a fan of Bassitt. I know he's having a – he had a really bad April. He's having a way better May, now getting into June. But it's just him being on the road that I just really don't like here. And with that total at 8.5, I think the Mets can get some runs off him fairly early. Now, we know Verlander goes for the Mets. And, I mean, he's only a year away from that 18-4, 175 ERA, 0.83 whip. And I don't know, that, especially coming off that Tommy John surgery and everything, maybe that's a little bit of an outlier because he has had 5 starts. He's looked really good in a couple, not so much in the other one. So he's been fairly inconsistent. Now, there's no doubt that we could get beat on this play, and he throws one of those games up where he allows no runs in 8 innings, and you know we lose 4-0 or something. But I don't think that happens here because he's going against the Blue Jay lineup that, for some reason, they put up some runs on the road. Don't get it. Sometimes these things happen, right? And they also actually have done fairly well against Verlander. They only saw him once last year when he was with Houston, and they did get a couple home runs off him in that game. And I got to believe maybe tonight, because if you look at the weather, the wind's blowing about 9 miles an hour out to the left center there, and maybe that's just enough to get a couple of these guys that might hit balls to the warning track, get them and put them out of the park. Also, like I said, the Jays really seem to play overs on the road. And one little more fact for you, Drew. The Jays on the road in their last 16 games, 12 of them have gone over. As long as Verlander doesn't show up like the Verlander of last year, I think we're pretty good on this over here.
Like it, Don Buster in the leadoff spot. Nice little trend on the Jays to the over here. Next up here, going from our leadoff hitter to our two-hole hitter, Steve Merrill. And Steve, I know we got a chart we're going to be throwing up here, but you're talking the Oakland A's and the Miami Marlins. This Oakland A's team, man, what near minus 200 run differential to the negative here. The Marlins also a negative run differential, but they're winning one-run games here, and they're in the playoff hunt in the National League. Interesting kind of matchup here in South Florida. What are you looking to do with the A's and the Fish tonight, Steve?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this game for a few reasons because we do have a chart coming up in a little bit. But Don Buster will appreciate this as a former bookmaker. Now he's an underdog guy that, you know, we never look to play big favorites. And fading the Oakland A's the rest of the season seems like a pretty obvious strategy. I think everybody, their brother and their sister, knows it. But we're going to be laying a big price doing it. So whenever I can fade the A's and lay less than 200, which is pretty much where this line is right now. It's that 190 to 200 range. It catches my eye. And I also think there's a subjective reason to look at Miami in this game. You know, we don't talk about a situational handicapping in baseball. It really is a statistical, like, long grind, a marathon, not a sprint. But this is an interleague series, you know, and everybody plays everybody this season for the first time. And Miami never plays Oakland. This isn't a Florida rivalry. You know, they're not going to play on a regular basis. So I just don't think Miami's going to overlook the opportunity to get back on the winning track here the next 3 days here through the weekend at home against one of the worst teams in the history of baseball. And Miami's also coming off an embarrassing 10-1 loss yesterday to the Padres, and they're catching a San Diego team that was due to heat up offensively, and San Diego scored 20 runs in those three games Keep in mind, Miami had won the three games before that. They'd swept the Angels on the road. That extended a long 2-week road trip. They came back home with a day of rest off, and then they were favored against the Padres. I thought it was a great pitching matchup, statistical spot, but that dreaded back home off the long road trip angle that Ralph Michaels and Jeff Michaels have talked about got Miami. So I'm going to overlook the bad series against the Padres. I think this is a huge bounce-back series against the A's. And we'll throw up the chart if we have it. Ralph Michaels was gracious enough to do this on the fly because Teddy Covers and I take daily questions on Wager Talk Today, and we'll be doing it next week. Leave handicapping questions on the replay for Wager Talk Today on YouTube. And one of the viewers asked, first of all, would the A's be a winning team in AAA? And I said, yes, they would be. I mean, their AAA team is just a few games below 500 in Las Vegas. Your Las Vegas Aviators, Drew Martin. But also the second question was, do we blindly fade Oakland this season after a win? So I had Ralph run the database. And if you'll see, it's a very profitable situation to fade Oakland going forward off a home win. Now, they're on the road here. They're coming off a loss, but they did win back-to-back games against Atlanta at home before that loss. But as you see, playing really bad teams in the second and third quarter, third of the season. By the way, we took 55 games or later because 54 games is exactly one-third of the season. That's where we are this week. We're entering the second third of the season, so you could use this data going forward for the rest of the year. And I took sub-400 teams because those are usually the two or three worst teams in baseball every year. That's a 97-loss team on average. The A's are going to be a lot worse than that. I realize that, but I wanted a little bit of depth and breadth to the sample size. Blindly playing the A's is not going to make you money, as the chart shows. You're going to be minus 7% return on investment. Playing them at home, you're going to be 5% down. On the road, 9.5% down. That applies tonight. On the road off a loss, 11% down. That's actually the better situation here on the road, is playing a bad team off a loss. So we'll fade Oakland tonight. But going forward, the best spot to fade the A's, for those that are interested, is going to be at home off a win this season. And Drew, as you know, they're looking ahead to move to Las Vegas. So I think they have absolutely no home field advantage, no support. It's the ultimate fade situation for what's going to go down as one of the worst teams in recent history.
Man, that's good stuff there, Steve. Love the chart as well. And you bring up the Aviators there. Their pitcher was supposed to be making his start jumping up from AAA, but I'm seeing a pitching change. Does that change anything at all for you, Steve? Or is this just something you're following these trends against the A's?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I like it a little bit less now with the pitching change. When I'd sent this over earlier, we hadn't seen that change yet. But it's just a pure fade for me of the Oakland A's whenever possible. Okay. And we have to pick our spots, obviously. And the Miami Marlins coming off a bad outing against San Diego for three games, I think it's the great spot to play the much better team in a focused situation. Whenever I get a good team in a focused situation against a terrible team in any sport, it's a play. And once again, that chart below is from Ralph Michaels. As you can see, follow him on Twitter, at Cal Sports LV, and Ralph does have a strong 5% MLB best bet. So be sure to check out wagertalk.com, Ralph Michaels, both Wager Talk and on Twitter at Cal Sports LV.
And Steve, just last follow-up question here for you, man. You bring up the Las Vegas Aviators, and I remember it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, you mentioned something about the Wager Talk meet and greet in Las Vegas the weekend of around August 20th. And you mentioned they might be in town there, Steve. Are you heading out early to try to go to a game, man? Because I'd like to tag along.
Yeah, I'm destroying my background as we speak here on Wager Talk TV live on Friday. But look, I've got a lot of props. As you know, it's Prop Friday. I had a drink last week. See if they get that in the air here. And got the batting helmet. This was actually a nacho helmet, I believe. We have a small little ice cream sundae helmet as well. But none of these are on the air, I think. So people just have to take my word for it. We'll pull them out for the best bet segment, Drew Martin.
Yeah, yeah. We'll come back around here, guys, to the best bets. Huge shout out to the chat box here. We got City by the Bay in the house. Chuck Pod as well. Daniel's son saying, Adam, listen to your podcast, MLB KBO, yesterday and took the Lotte Giants. Woke up to a winner. Guys, he's known by some as Korean Adam. He knows baseball on the other side of the world there in the KBO. Going to want to check him out, wagertalk.com. Knows his MLB as well. So, Trig, I guess opening thoughts for the show, and I'm seeing the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds here for your big game breakdown, Trig.
Yeah, Drew, well, I have to be honest, KBO is going a lot better than MLB right now, but it's June 2nd, and I hope that you know, is gonna change going forward. Other thought here, Drew, are you a Zach Brown band guy at all? Because this game's at 5 o'clock today, because they have a Zach. Yeah, so the reason that the Reds Brewers is so early today, think they're doing like a full Zach Brown Band concert after the game. And I've seen him a bunch. My friend used to sell his wine. So we would get like to go backstage, you know, kind of like, do all like sorts of cool things, like VIP things at his shows. He puts on a great show. So totally irrelevant to what's going on in this game. But Zach Brown puts on a good show. As far as the game's concerned, the sort of notable thing there you want to know is it is a 5 p.m. Eastern start. So this one will be early today. And they should, Drew, this is a whole nother thing. They should have early baseball every single day. Day games every single day in baseball. If Adam Trigger was running the league, I'm not, so we'll have to take them when we get them. But as far as this game's concerned, Drew,
To that point, I mean, with sports betting becoming so popular, man, I thought about that as well.
Yeah.
Every weekday, there should be a 4:30 or 5 p.m. I'm okay on, like, which time. But for sports betting alone, for, like, a happy hour East Coast, one game should start at that time.
At least
you would get more eyeballs on the diamond, more eyeballs, like, into the game. I think that's a great idea. Hey, and with your breakdown here, man, do you think there's any advantage to the Reds? There's likely going to be more fans at the ballpark for Zach Brown. A little toes in the water there going to be playing. Do you think that's any advantage in your handicap?
It could be. I mean, you know, it's a Friday game. Cincinnati, like they've had a decent turnout. I know they're going to have the black City Connect jerseys on again. So, you know, they'll have a good – and, Drew, they were great on their road trip. So the excitement has got to be a little bit higher, you know, with Cincinnati baseball than it was maybe a month ago, because they're sort of right in the mix all of a sudden. And it's part of the reason why I couldn't really get to a side on this game, and I'm going to look more at the total. So the biggest observation I have of the sort of new-look Reds, Drew, is this team can hit. Like, more so than the Reds that were you know, rolling out on the field in April, this Reds team can hit the ball a little bit. And so I'm looking toward the over here. I'm just going to point out a couple guys that, you know, are not household names. They might be at some point. Matt McClain, you know, called up. He's been on fire since getting, you know, up to the big leagues. He's hitting .354, 10-game hitting streak. Another young guy that's come through their organization, Spencer Steer, he's hitting .350. So I think the sort of thought process here, the quick at a glance is, okay, Brewers, Reds, two teams that don't do a ton offensively. But the Reds have been a lot better offensively of late. And Drew, if there was ever something that was going to wake up this Brewers offense, who's been very, very cold, and their offense has been a big reason why they've lost 18 of their last 29 games, it's got to be the Reds. If you go back to last year, the Brewers were 13-6 against the Reds. They scored 6.3 runs a game, and they hit 44 home runs, which is actually insane if you think about it. 44 homers in those 19 games for the Brewers against the Reds last year. So maybe just the, you know, the familiarity of Reds pitching and liking to play in this ballpark, which tends to profile as a hitter's park, might jumpstart the Brewers offense. Another thing I think might jumpstart the Brewers offense is the fact that they're probably going to have some guys on base here. So Brandon Williamson's going to make his fourth major league start for the Reds. He's a guy that probably should be at AAA right now. I think he'd be at AAA in most organizations, but the Reds, you know, have had a need for starting pitching, and they're kind of rolling with him in the rotation at this point. The reason I say he should still be at AAA, Drew, is not so much, it's not so much that he's gotten pummeled. He's actually amazingly won all three of his starts, despite, you know, not pitching particularly well. But he puts guys on base. And I think a struggling offense like the Brewers, what don't you want to do for a struggling offense? Them base runners, right? Because all it's going to take is a timely hit or two, and suddenly they've got a crooked number and the offense is going. 9 walks in 3 starts so far for Williamson. That's only 14.1 innings pitched. That's an issue. And it's a command thing, and it's something that he'd probably be ironing out at AAA right now, but he's sort of been forced into the big leagues. And as you guys know, you don't fix that at the big league level. It tends to get exposed, even if it's against a team like the Brewers who have been a little bit cold. On the flip side, Drew, I'm not really sure what to do with Corbin Burnes. So obviously Corbin Burnes is a guy that the last couple of years he's had a sort of mid-2 ERA, elite starter, elite starting pitching metrics coming into this season, has not been quite as good. Right? Like 3.68 ERA, 1.19 whip. Those are good numbers, but they're not where he was the last couple of years. I think he may start to trend back toward that at some point. He was good last time out, but I don't know that he's going to go on the road here and just completely shut the Reds down. I think the Reds will get something off of him. And then you look at later in this game, neither of these bullpens are sort of immune to giving up runs. I think they both kind of profile as like lower tier pens. The Brewers are bottom five in bullpen WAR this year. And the Reds, I mean, they blew a game for me last night with the bullpen, just totally imploded in the eighth inning. But if you go back to that Red Sox series, Drew, where they took two of three, a lot of bullpen innings, a lot of high leverage bullpen innings. The Reds, of course, had a nice little winning streak going. And every single game has been close. So they've really sort of used up the high leverage relief arms over the last week. The two relievers that are good here, Devin Williams for the Brewers, Alexis Diaz for the Reds, are the closers. So, I mean, if you haven't got the over by the time the closer's coming into the game, it's probably a loss anyway. I just think there's runs to be had here, Drew. I think both starting pitchers can give a couple up. The Red starter could be someone that just gets hammered at some point. You put runners on base like that, it could happen. And then the bullpens are, you know, very capable of giving up some runs, especially with the fact that both teams are pretty familiar with each other playing in the same division. So this feels like an over, Drew. Think it's over 10. You might see over 10 and a half, but this feels like a game that's going to have some runs both ways. And if you get to 5-5, it's a win. So I like the over here.
Adam Trigger, wagertalk.com. We do have Swiss in the house saying, thanks for the Framber alert yesterday, Adam. Good advice. Is that something worth shouting out on today's show, what you saw?
Well, I mean, Drew, the info was good. I said on Wager Talk today that I thought the Astros were going to push Framber Valdez back to Friday. It was not widely publicized info. Had you bet Angels money line at the time, you would have got plus 170. And I think it went down as far as like plus 125 or plus 130.
Okay.
So, I mean, you could have gotten yourself a 40-cent move. Now, the Angels did not win that game. And they didn't, you know, they wouldn't have covered the plus 1.5. But in a situation like that, if you can beat a number by that much, I mean, you can always come back, take the other side, and you could have had a free roll, essentially. So, you know, it was good. I mean, of course, if you rode out the Angels play, all you had was some nice CLV because they ended up losing the game. Doesn't matter. It's still a loser. But, you know, we got the info right. And like I said, unfortunately, the Angels lost the game. But it was, it was still a 45 to 50 cent move on the number. So I guess it's sure. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Always love getting those 40-cent, 50-cent moves in your favor. Just remember to bet at Action, guys, so it doesn't get retracted. But, yeah, good stuff from Adam Trigger, wagertalk.com. We got guys. John saying, any gold sheet today? Absolutely, John. Just hang in there. We're getting the best bets right now. Check out Don Buster, Adam Trigger, Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com here, guys, all weekend long. And I'm going to head to the NL Central here for my best bet. And I'm jumping on the Pittsburgh Pirates, guys. We get them as high as plus 130. So risk 100 to win 130. About plus 125, $1.25, widely available, looking at the Wager Talk live odds screen. And, hey, home dog is barking, one of the most beautiful ballparks out there. Contreras is on the hill, and he's been a little bit shaky at times this season. His velocity was down, but his last time out, he actually came out of the pin, and he saw about a 2-mile-per-hour tick up in his velo. And when asked about it, he said, yeah, it's back, and he's ready to go. So he's getting the start tonight, and sure enough, in four career starts versus the Cardinals, team record of 4-0, 3.86 ERA. So he's pitched well against the St. Louis bats. Flaherty, at the same, he's kind of been a little bit volatile this season as well. So laying this big of a price tag here on the road with the Cardinals, I think it's priced too high. Home dog is barking in PNC. My best bet for the show, Pittsburgh Pirates, plus 130. We'll go around the horn here. Back to our leadoff hitter, Don Buster, coming to us from south of the border. Hey, Don Buster, if you got any Mexican baseball picks, feel free to throw them out when you're on the show, man. We'll take baseball action all around the world here. Colorado and Kansas City Royals, I'm seeing as your best bet. So I'll throw it over to you, Don, for best bets, final thoughts for the show. And what are you looking to do with the Rocks and the Royals tonight? Oh, Don, I think we got you on mute, man.
Thought the cartel got him.
We might need to reset a little bit, but we'll come back to you. We'll get that best bet from Don Buster, guys. Sorry about the technical difficulties, and we'll head to our two-hole hitter, Steve Merrill, Angels and Astros tonight. So a good one here in the AL West, Steve. And yeah, any final thoughts for the show here?
Yeah, you know, no NBA playoffs till Sunday, but I will have an NBA Fade the Public Game 2 preview this weekend here on Wager Talk TV. So hit subscribe, hit the bell for instant alerts when that video goes live. Don't forget NBA tip-off also 4 o'clock Eastern Friday afternoon and replayed all weekend on Wager Talk TV. Strong best bet tonight, MLB Steamroller blowout for Friday Night Baseball. And I've also got a free play posted on the page, and free plays have done quite well this season. Games are just a bit outside from making the cut, and the free play tonight is going to be under the total between the Angels and Astros. Adam Trigger was on Wager Talk today, yesterday on Thursday, when I was guest hosting with Teddy Covers. He mentioned that Valdez was going to be pushed back, and he was right. They pushed him back to tonight on Friday, and not a surprise, gave him an extra day of rest to face Shohei and Ohtani, one of the best pitching matchups we're going to see all season. You know, back in the day, you would have seen two stud pitchers like this. We could have expected a 6, 6.5, maybe a 7 at best. We're getting a 7.5 here, so I can't pass up the under in this game. 7 is a very key number. 7 and 9s are more key than 6 and 8 and 10 because the game's tied 3-3. It has to go to extra innings. So it's very more likely to land on 7 than 6, for example. So I love the 7.5 here for some extra line value with two of the best pitchers in baseball. Houston's offense also has been struggling in recent weeks. This is a team that's not hitting the ball. They've had single-digit hits now in 8 of their last 9 games. I think they struggled tonight against Ohtani, who had no home runs allowed in the first, 8 starts this season, I believe. Then he gave up 8 home runs in 4 starts. Well, he's given up no dingers in the last 2 outings with 19 strikeouts and 12 innings pitched, only 8 hits allowed. He's in excellent form. Valdez has been in excellent form all season. He's one of the rare guys in baseball that can go 7, 8, or 9 innings. In fact, he had a 9-inning complete game shutout 2 starts ago against the Oakland A's. Nothing too impressive about that. And then he shut them down again. But he's in excellent current form. Ohtani is as well. Astros Angels under 7.5 runs tonight on Friday. I have an even stronger MLB steamroller blowout. NBA up 89 units this year already in 2023. I've got strong best bets lined up for this weekend. And don't forget about the 30-day All Sports special. No promo code needed. Works out to just $6.50 a day. Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com.
Steve Merrill, check him out, guys. We also got some funny comments, Steve, coming in. First off, Fortnite with maybe the comment of the day. Un momento, talking about what happened there. I like that one. We got John laughing about it, Ghosted, saying, fun show as always. Best MLB betting show in the space. Thanks for that, Ghosted. And Daniel's son saying, Steve, definitely a low-key comedian guy. Is that something maybe as a side gig for you, Steve, getting up, making people laugh?
So it's fun. It's funny, Drew, because the Prez has bragged about how he's done stand-up once or twice, and he was awful, apparently. Back in college, we had our philanthropy was with Paul Newman. We did a comedy show. I actually did host it a few times. So I've actually done on-stage comedy, and I guarantee you it was better than the Prez. Canadians aren't funny. No offense, Don Buster.
Oh, Canada. Don, I think we got you back, man. You with us?
I'm not sure. Am I with you?
You are okay. With us, man. So
I'm having a little bit of a connection problem with my headphones here. So sorry about that. So I'm going to make this a little bit shorter than normal because I can barely hear you guys. So it's, believe it or not, usually for years and years and years, every Carmine on the Puck Time show would say, oh, it's the cartel knocking out my Wi-Fi. But it's not. It's Wi-Fi is all good. So anyways, yes, my play for the best bet is going to be on Colorado for the first half on the money line. We have a couple of clubs here that are cellar dwellers at best, but we like Colorado to get the jump early here. And last week, Jeff talked on the show about situations where a team has time off and that. Well, in this situation, Kansas City has got 2 days off, and that's very rare to happen. And I think it's just a fluke in the schedule. So, and I think it's going to happen again for a couple other teams this year. But it's very seldom that happens. Now, last week we were talking about how more rest after being on a road trip sometime isn't that good. Well, I don't know here. Maybe the rest here might take Kansas City a little while to get going at the plate. And that's what I'm hoping here. Because for Kansas City, who they get on the mound, is Jordan Lyles. And Lyles has been just, I'm not sure how he's favored over anyone, tell you the truth. There's obviously film going around because everybody's been hitting him. And he's just been a disaster this year. He's sporting 11.68 ERA and a whip of 1.86. Now, again, he goes up against Chase Anderson. Now, Anderson, he's had a good five starts this year. No, three starts and then a couple times coming out. But he's only allowed three runs over 15 and two-thirds innings. And the thing is, though, Chase, I mean, he hasn't really pitched a full season since 2019. Right now, he's actually looking like the Chase Anderson of 2017, where he's 12-4 with a 2.74 ERA. We're hoping, you know, he's only going to go four or five innings. We'd like him to do that, to have another good start. Maybe Kansas City a little lethargic after a couple days off. And we're hoping that he can get the lead with Colorado, scoring maybe a bunch of runs early. But I'll tell you one thing, Drew. We do not trust this Colorado bullpen, who actually yesterday went through four guys and they still lost the game. They've been losing a lot of games late. But what we do like, Colorado getting even money for the first half.
Like it, Don Buster, guys. Check them out, wagertalk.com. The Rocks in the first five. We got Gold Sheet play of the day before we get to Trig, and Gold Sheet's involved here with Cleveland and Minnesota. And it looks like, read all a couple of the bullet points here. Cleveland's Aaron Civale gave up four runs in 4.2 innings in his last rehab start. Minnesota's Bailey Ober held Cleveland scoreless in seven innings 4 weeks ago, and Cleveland's bullpen has received a heavy workload over the last few days. So you see it there with the Gold Sheet. Minnesota Twins on the money line. We'll throw it over here to our three-hole hitter. Power spot of the lineup, Adam Trigger, Korean Adam by some. He's killing the KBO, MLB. He's got some plays up for tonight. So, Trig, throw it over to you. Final thoughts here for the show, and where are you heading for best bets?
Yeah, so I have one MLB play today. It's up on my page, 4%er. And I also am going to put Korean baseball up as soon as the show is done. So lines were a little late to come out in KBO today. I will have KBO up as soon as the show is done. I would say that this was a close, I guess, second and third. Talked about the over in the Reds game earlier. The other one I was kind of eyeing today that I at least have an opinion in would be the Dodgers playing the Yankees. So, of course, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, picking one game off the board, Drew, to watch tonight, I mean, like, this has got to be right up there at the top of the list for games on Friday night, Dodgers-Yankees. Out in LA, I think it's a 10-10 Eastern start. So, you know, definitely going to have a lot of eyes on this game. And I think the matchup favors the Dodgers. So just off the top, I mean, I'm going to take Kershaw over Severino right now, sort of any day of the week. And I'll explain why, but just off the top, Kershaw being on the mound at home here sort of pointed me to the Dodgers. So Clayton Kershaw at home this season has been, I mean, he's been great regardless. Like he's, you know, having just another excellent year, 3.32 ERA, 1.14 whip. But at home, Drew, in four starts, is a 1.13 ERA. Opponents are hitting .184 against him. So just elite numbers for him at Dodger Stadium. And I look at the Yankees, you know, surprisingly, of course, because he hits from the left side of the plate, one of the most productive Yankees against Kershaw is Anthony Rizzo. 10 for 31 in his career with three home runs off of Kershaw. He missed the entire Mariners series with a neck injury. I don't know if we have an update on him yet, if he's going to be in the lineup tonight, but it's worth noting that the neck injury was serious enough to keep him out of the entire Mariners series. So he hasn't played, you know, I think since Sunday. So something to monitor. They might still be without him. Of course, the big story for the Yankees here is getting guys back, right? Like you've got Giancarlo Stanton coming off the IL. Josh Donaldson comes off the IL. Tommy Kahnle comes off the IL. He'll return. You know, he'll go back to the Yankee bullpen, which long-term is awesome for the Yankees. That's going to help a lot long-term. As far as like helping in this game, I don't really think any of them coming back makes an impact today, right? Like Stanton had like sort of limited rehab at Double A. Donaldson hasn't played since like the second week of the season. probably going to take those guys a little while to sort of get back into the mix. So I don't know if they even appear in the lineup tonight, how much of a help that is. I will note that Harrison Bader going on the IL is definitely, you know, a negative for the Yankees. He was sort of tearing it up, you know, before he got hurt. And then on the flip side, Drew, the Dodgers, very similar to the Yankees, where they sort of broke out in May. Very similar records right up near the top of Major League Baseball. But the Dodgers have just scorching hot in May. And you look at this lineup right now, I think this is a tougher lineup. Freddie Freeman knocking the cover off the ball. He's hitting fourth. He's got a 20-game hit streak, Drew, with 18 extra base hits. That's wild. He's hitting .457 over the last 20 games. Best hitter in baseball right now, at least right now. I mean, he's always been one of the top hitters in the game, but probably the hottest hitter in the game right now. J.D. Martinez has a 15-game hitting streak. These guys were unlucky at the plate in April, and all of that has sort of turned around in May. Excellent hard hit rate up and down this Dodgers lineup, but they also have really good at-bats, and I think that's what is going to be the difference here in this game. Luis Severino is still on a pitch count, as far as I know. Probably up toward the 85 to 90 pitch range. This is his third start off the IL. The numbers have been solid. Like, you know, I'll tip my cap there. He's been very, very good since coming off the IL. But the Dodgers are going to make him work far harder, in my opinion, than the Padres or the Reds did, which were his first two opponents. So I think he's going to have, you know, it's going to be tough at bat after tough at bat from this Dodgers lineup. Wouldn't be surprised if he's out of this game five innings or so. He gets to 90 pitches. And, you know, the bullpen, like the Yankees clearly have the better bullpen if you look at, you know, season-long statistics. But I like the fact that the Dodgers had yesterday off. They really didn't use their high-leverage guys in the loss to the Nationals on Wednesday. So I think that part is even. So, Drew, I'll take Kershaw over Severino here. You got the Dodgers at home. Kershaw's been tremendous at home. I don't think the additions off the IL are going to help the Yankees right away. And you've got the Dodgers, who are red hot with some of the hottest hitters and best hitters in baseball. Minus 130 felt a little cheap to me. I think Dodgers, you know, get it done here, and I think they're the right side.
Dodgers and Yankees to end it here, guys. And maybe the most bet game so far in the MLB season, 10-10 Eastern, Dodgers and Yankees. So that's going to do it for the show. Huge shout out to Paco Healy joining us late here. Padres. Taking it to my Miami Marlins yesterday, but first game back against the Cubs, an interesting one tonight there for you, Paco. We got Pittsburgh Pirates, plus 130. That's my best bet, guys. Don Buster, he's like in Colorado, the Rocks in the first five. First five, do note that, guys, plus 105, not trusting the Rocks bullpen. Adam Trigger, just heard it there. Dodgers in the late night action against the Yankees, minus 130. Steve Merrill, LA Angels, Houston Astros, under 7.5, minus 110. And the gold sheet, Minnesota Twins on the money line, minus 126 price tag. Guys, check out wagertalk.com. Best free live odds in the industry. Premium plays, free plays up and available. Check out Don Buster, Steve Merrill, Adam Trigger. I am Drew Martin. That's going to do it for the show, for the week as well. We'll be back Monday, 2 o'clock Eastern time, right here on the Wager Talk YouTube channel. Reply below, guys. Let us know what you're looking to bet tonight, where you agree, where you disagree. All is welcome. And smash that like button. It helps us out. So have a fun, safe weekend. Cash those tickets. We'll talk on Monday.